You guys are going to make fun of me.
Okay.
But I think I have to go with
pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah, pumpkin spice.
Dude, I knew it. I knew it.
When the first, like, when you see Starbucks start advertising that. Dude, it's good. I like it.
Welcome back to Knox and Nature, the podcast about archery, hunting, hiking, conservation, firearms, and whatever else you feel like talking about. It is episode 10, fellas. How are we feeling? You excited?
I'm feeling great.
You happy we're here?
Yeah. We made it 10 episodes.
Double digits.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Woo. Jared's so exciting. We still have how many listeners, consistent listeners do we have?
I think there's like 40 something, like pretty much every episode. So I would say there's probably about 30 people regularly that are listening to pretty much every episode. Wow. It depends, because on some of our longer episodes, I've noticed it has taken, you know, like a couple of weeks for them to catch up, and then we'll have, like, episode 8 was just like an hour, 20 minutes or something like that. So that actually got more.
We could sell out the back room of an Applebee's.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, sure. Well, think about talking in front of 40 people right now. I mean, that's not a lot of people, but to some, that's more
a decent amount of people.
40 people.
I mean, you have 40 people in a small room
voluntarily listening to our dumbasses talk.
That's surprising.
It's a large classroom.
It is a large classroom. Yeah.
Yeah. My kids' classroom's got like 20 kids in it, so you could have two classrooms.
Yeah. Well, you know, you gotta keep those numbers small over there.
Yeah, they need a lot of attention.
They need a lot of help, because, you know, stupid. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. All right, so we've got a fun idea. Well, first of all, let me just say this before we get into that. With episode 10, obviously double digits, we're having a whole lot of fun here. Just talking to people that we want to talk to and things we want to talk about. I think we've come a good way so far. Things have become slightly more professional. So, yeah, I'm happy about that. But if you, the listener, enjoy the podcast, we do have an Instagram page. We have not been super great at promoting it. Usually we talk about that at the end of the episode. But if you do enjoy the podcast, the best way to support us is, number one, either write us a review or rate the show, depending on where you listen, and or follow us on Instagram, KnoxAndNature_podcast. There will be it'll be spelled out in the description of the podcast. So there's no ampersand. You have to spell out the word and, because Instagram's stupid like that.
We haven't really posted much on there either.
We haven't. We're going to try to.
You know, get better about that. Justin and I were just talking about that. We're going to take some Knox and Nature behind the scenes photos and post them there.
It'll be funny. We do some funny stuff in preparation for the podcast. We were listening to a whole bunch of music this year.
It's mainly karaoke.
Yeah, pretty much. So, it's a good time. So, anyway, we appreciate everyone who listens to the show. Without further ado, we'll get into this episode. So, we're going to start with a fun little segment. We need like a bell or something for the segment. Ding, ding. Here we go.
You're the sound guy.
Yeah, I know. But basically what we're going to do here is a fall items or ideas draft. So I saw this idea on another podcast. I wish I remembered the name of it. But they did it for Halloween. So somebody did, you know, like Halloween candy, and somebody else did like costumes and, you know, whatever. I'm not going to give too much away, because there's obviously a lot of overlap.
Little crossover.
With all that. But yeah, so we're going to start it. I guess I'll volunteer to go second. So you guys are going to pick a number between 1-4. Hold on. Jared, pick a number between 1 and 20.
21.
Thirteen. Okay.
4. 6. There we go.
So Justin's going first.
Boom.
I'll go second. Jared, go third. So.
Sorry, Jared.
Justin.
Gives me more time to prepare.
First round.
The first pick in the first round of the fall season draft. What are you taking?
So this might be a controversial? Controversial pick.
Okay.
But I'm going with chili slash soup.
Okay.
It is chili slash soup season.
That's fair enough.
Oh. Finally.
All right. I'm between two right here, but I think in the first round, we're talking the second pick of the draft.
Yeah. It's important.
I'm going hoodies, dude.
Hoodie. Oh, yeah.
That's
a good one. That's a good one.
I'm going hoodies.
What's your
first round?
What's your favorite hoodie?
Oh, so you know me. I'm a big hoodie guy.
Yeah.
And I've got a bunch of different brands, bunch of different styles. First of all, anybody who wears full zip and prefers them over a pullover, you're whack.
I was always a full zip guy, and since I bought this Origin hoodie, I've switched to a hoodie guy.
I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah,
dude.
Pullovers, one, are better.
The only thing I don't like is when you take it off, you have to show everyone your belly button.
No, you just hold your shirt down, dude.
You pull your sleeves out first, and then you pull it up to your shoulders.
He's not a professional.
Kind of like a girl.
Yeah, I show everyone my belly button.
But here's what I'm saying. I don't think anything...
You just got to, like, squeeze your chest and flex, you know, so you look good.
As far as comfortability goes...
I look good.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, you just... I don't know, Jared. You're a hoodie guy. Would you agree with me as far as comfortability goes? I don't think anything will be a Carhartt hoodie. Anything out there.
Carhartt hoodies are pretty good.
They're thicker. They're soft. It's just, there's something about, like, I don't know. That's my favorite hoodie. I've got a bunch of hoodies from Sika Gear. I've got hoodies from, like, we've got a bunch of random stuff from work. I've got hoodies from several different, you know, bow manufacturers, whatever. And there's a bunch of, like, Matthews has a bunch of hoodies and whatever. But my favorite of all time is just a regular. I've got three plain black Carhartt pullover hoodies.
Just a good old Walmart Carhartt hoodie.
I mean, as long as it's actually Carhartt and not like some.
Yeah, no, Walmart sells Carhartt.
Yeah.
You just.
Huh. Yeah, they're like $50 and whatever, dude. They're very comfortable.
Well, okay.
So.
All right.
Getting back to it, Jared, first round, third pick.
All right, first round. I'm sorry, guys. Take a big one. I have to go with Deer Camp.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Are we including? I'm gonna say we're also gonna include deer season into that because that's kind of the same thing.
I think so, and that's what I was wondering what the cutoff was.
Yeah.
When fall turns into winter, like
that's fair.
Are we going December 21st? Like.
No.
You know, maybe you guys want to take deer season or something else. I was thinking specifically the night before rifle season.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've never really done, like, an actual camp where you go out to a cabin or whatever. But the night before...
Are you guys coming to my deer camp?
And you're watching Escanaba in the moonlight and eating all sorts of little finger foods cocktail weenies.
You know the rut's about to start as soon as you see them little Debbie
stuff,
Christmas trees.
You know.
That's how you know. That's how I know the rut's here. As soon as you see those little Debbie Christmas trees hit the shelves, rut's coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost here.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to rope deer season into that because that was one of my picks, but I think it's too close to deer camp, so we'll let Jared have that one.
Yeah, I like that.
Go for it. Round two, second pick, Justin.
Oh, boy. I'm going with cool weather. So everything's cooling down.
Yeah.
You get to wear your hoodies.
You get to wear your hoodies.
You're not, you know, sweating your ass off every day. Like, it's that perfect kind of happy medium. And it makes me happy.
All right. I'm going to be a little bit bold here with my second pick. All right, because this is a second article of clothing. Also something I really love.
Really? Pants.
Also, the best of them come from Carhartt.
I love pants.
Flannels.
Ooh.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Pants. I don't like pants.
You don't like pants?
No.
Hmm.
Rather just wear shorts all day, pretty much.
You prefer your loincloth?
Yeah.
You think
usually.
Carhartt has the best flannels?
For the price? Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
What does a Carhartt flannel run?
About the same as a hoodie, $50, maybe 60.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, I found these flannels downstate one time at the Field and Stream store.
Yeah, probably $110.
No, they were $10.
Whoa.
And it was my all-time favorite flannel.
And he washed it with the whites.
I only bought one of them. Pink. And no, it was, I had like a green and navy one. It was really cool. And I just wore it out. But I should have bought the entire rack.
Yeah, for $10.
I loved that thing. It was awesome.
You know, some people are probably going to hate me for this, but Orvis makes a good flannel.
No, I don't think.
And there,
I have like, multiple Orvis.
They're so cheap at Costco.
Yeah.
You can
and
get them.
And they're heavy.
Yeah.
They got pockets.
And they have pockets.
Dude, the flannel no,
and they
pockets.
Have a million colors, too.
I have, I don't know what brand it is. It might even be Orvis, but I have a heavy flannel that's Sherpa-lined that has pockets on it.
The Orvis ones are not.
All right, I don't know, but it was a gift.
I have one of those,
oh,
too.
Actually, the women's Orvis are Sherpa-lined. So, you know, maybe you just have a women's flannel.
No, I don't have
I have
hips.
A Sherpa-lined one.
I don't have the hips for a women's flannel.
But I just, favorite memories from up at Tech, you know, going out to the bars or skiing in the spring when it's getting warm out.
Oh, yeah, flannel all day.
You know, going to the hockey game. You're always... You're not wearing a winter jacket. That's not cool, right? You're wearing a flannel. And the Orvis flannels were always, they were thick enough to keep you warm.
Now, how do we feel about the flannels over the hoodies? Because I'm personally not
a fan. That's...
I'm not a fan of that.
Not allowed.
Okay, good. Yeah. Moving on. Third pick in the second round, Jared. What are you taking?
Okay, third pick. I'm going to have to go with Halloween parties.
Ooh. Okay. That's a good one.
That's a good pick.
That is a good pick. You missed out on Encore. Last weekend.
Yeah, I heard. I was at a, last weekend, you know, busy out of the state. But when Nick went to Encore, I was at another Halloween party.
Yeah.
I think you
that was
said.
That was our actual Halloween party. Yeah, you were on your way somewhere else.
Yeah, you were, you went as a cowboy, which was funny because to this Halloween party, I also went as a cowboy.
Really?
I was like, man, I would have much rather gone to Encore because this Halloween party actually.
I wish I would have actually texted you because when I looked at Snap Maps, you were on your way down there because you were like, I just looked and you weren't anywhere near here. And so I was like, okay, well, he's obviously got plans.
Well, but. And I was like just sitting around like, I don't have anything going on. I guess I'll go to this.
Yeah, I wish I would have texted you sooner. It honestly
would have been a lot of fun.
But. We had talked about it like a couple weeks prior, and then it was kind of last minute, like, hey, we're actually doing this. But it was fun.
No, so. It was a lot of fun. That, you know, everyone likes drinking at Halloween parties, too. It's a good thing.
I think
it's funny that,
unpopular opinion,
like cowboy,
I like dressing up for the Halloween parties.
It's fun.
I love wearing costumes.
It is, yeah. Everyone likes
I think it's funny that, like, cowboy is like I've been a cowboy.
Oh, yeah.
Cowboy.
Yeah.
Like, and you just wear the shit that you already have.
Yeah, I know. I was literally wearing boots that I wear every day.
Yeah.
So it was funny.
It's like, oh, shit, what can I be for Halloween? Oh, I'll be a cowboy.
I was wearing just a nicer pair of my jeans that I wear all the time.
Right.
You know, and a roping shirt that I don't usually wear it just because I don't want to look like a poser because I'm not like an actual roper. But I've wore that shirt out multiple times if I'm trying to look nice.
Right.
The Halloween party I went to, there was multiple people dressed up as cowboy, and they actually had, like, you could vote for best costume, and it wasn't me, obviously, because there was a bunch of cowboys, but it was someone else, but everyone was, like, coming up to me, and they're like, well, you may not have the best costume, but you definitely get the most authentic, because it was, like, all, you know, real deal stuff. You know, I had the real cowboy hat from down south, you know, custom made. Perfectly fits my, you know, all the cool, like, the videos you see on TikTok.
Yeah.
And most of the people at this party knew about the hat. And then I've got the jean jacket. I've got the real pearl snap. I got the boots, jeans. I've
got
a roping lasso.
Yeah.
Or roping rope. Yeah.
I went as a cowboy one year and wore, like, my holster with, like, my actual pistol in it.
Oh, yeah.
With the actual pistol in it?
Yeah, no. I was going to do that. I was going to message you and ask if I could do that and just, like, not have bullets. I was going to be like, hey, man, do you have any empty shells I can put in it? And my parents were like, you're not bringing a real gun. So.
Yeah.
I only wore it for, like, a little bit, and then I put it in the truck. But.
Yeah.
I feel like I showed up like that. The cowboy costume, I feel like if I were to try to win a Halloween costume contest. You could wear the custom hat and everything, but you have to do like, you have to dress up like Tombstone, basically. You got to dress up like Wyatt Earp. And I don't know. That's just not like, that's just way more involved than I wanted to get. We were also in the club, so it was going to be super, super hot.
Yeah, you're not dancing in a trench coat. You
know, no. Wyatt Earp is not a cowboy.
Sure.
Yeah, that's true. But you understood what I was saying.
Dress up like Johnny Ringo.
Yeah, you could dress up like Johnny Ringo. Yeah. They I don't know if you know this. I don't know if you watched the movie, but they pretty much dress the same. So
false.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't dress anything the same.
No, they kind of do.
Johnny Ringo and Wyatt Earp? No, they don't.
All right, your homework is to go watch Tombstone. Yeah, and
go watch Tombstone.
Educate yourself.
Okay.
Come back next episode. You whatever. Know, you'll be like, oh, damn, they're all wearing black trench coats and the other guys are wearing cowboy clothes.
Yeah. It's very different.
It's crazy. Anyways, next.
Dressed in black.
Real Tombstone fan, but.
Next pick.
It's okay.
Tombstone's not even that. I mean, it's all right.
Dude, that's my favorite movie.
Dude, yeah, it's sure a great movie. I used to watch it like once a week.
Yeah.
It's
round three. Let's go.
Round three, Tombstone.
Round three, Tombstone. Yeah. Take it.
Take it.
No, I watch Tombstone all year round. All right, I picked that. I think my next picks, I'm getting down. I only had six things on my list.
Okay.
And a couple of them are taken.
Okay.
So my next pick is going to be The Summer Tourist Going Home.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I think that, I will say, I think we still have some around.
There is still some around. There's
still a lot of them that are, you know, not doing what they should be doing. And that's going home.
Yeah.
All right, third pick.
But it's definitely less. So it's
that's true.
You know, you can go out to lunch and you don't have to deal with traffic. And
I'm between two, because.
We're getting down to the tough ones.
We're getting down to the tough ones.
Yeah.
Well,
I only have like one more left.
The thing of it is, yeah, we'll do four. We can do four rounds. Okay. Let's see here. Let's see. Oh, okay. This wasn't on my list, but I'm making it up as I go now. I'm going to take apples in the third round.
What?
Yep. Apples.
Like love apple picking or just apples?
Cause you just like the apple, the fact that it's apple season. So, yeah, I guess apple picking
apple season
or
is
apple
more
harvesting.
Of a fall thing.
It's always apple season at Meijer.
Yeah, but they're not fresh. You can't go to the farmer's market and buy an apple in July. I mean, I'm sure you could, but it's going to taste
like
garbage.
If you pick it off a tree in July, it's going to taste like shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I don't know a bunch about apples. Yeah.
You can understand my pick.
I can understand.
Apples.
I had
like apple crisp.
I grew up with 12 apple trees in my yard. So
yeah,
oh, really,
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. So 12? Apple harvesting. Apple harvesting was a big thing in the fall.
Oh wow, apple cider.
We'd take
apple cider is a fucking good one.
Dude, you shouldn't have said that. You should have taken that in the fourth round.
Well, that's kind of
funny.
I mean, because
I have apple cider in the fridge. Obi and Alyssa got me on it from the last episode.
There you go.
It's just been stocked in there since.
There you go. Yeah.
Run out, go buy another one. Yeah, so my pick.
What's your third round pick?
Not going to be apple cider. Kind of a theme. I like the gathering of peoples, you know, deer camp, Halloween party.
Jared's a people person.
Now I'm going to have to go with an NFL watch party.
Okay.
Okay. There's so much fun. You get a big group of people together, and you watch the Lions game.
I think,
or,
you know what?
You know, maybe if you're not
a Lions fan.
Dude, I've never done
losing
that.
To the Lions.
Okay, first of all, you need to stop because you've never been a football fan. But I'm going to take your pick just like another step further. I would say football season. That kind of just falls within football season.
But
specifically that get-together. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but that get-together with friends and, you know, making an event out of it.
Because football season was on my list, but I knew Justin was going to have a stink about it because he's not a football fan, because he doesn't like sports, because, you know, he grew up with a fucking racing lawnmower.
I like sports.
Yeah, what, badminton and beach volleyball?
He likes pickleball. Dude, get it right.
Pickleball and beach volleyball?
I've never played pickleball. I have played beach volleyball, and it's pretty fun.
You know,
I mean, it is
you know what's really fun? Up at Tech, they had racquetball.
Is racquetball fun?
Is that the one that you bounce off the
my
wall?
My dad used to get
you're
in
a room. Yeah. You're in a locked room.
Yeah.
And you just beat the fuck out of this rubber ball.
Hell yeah.
That sounds fun.
Like, you just whack it as hard as you can.
Yeah. How do you score points? Nobody cares. Yeah, smack against the wall, dude.
No, we would play like we were, you know, part of a club or whatever. So you had to
the
occasionally
racquetball club.
Yeah, no, like there's a club for literally everything at Tech.
Wow,
everything. But
I bet you there's
racquetball. You know, you had to play every once in a while. You had to keep score, but most of the time we were just beating the shit out of it, just whacking it as hard as you can and hoping that you don't get hit by it.
Seems like it hurt.
Oh, it, did you? Yeah, did you try it to, hurts a lot.
Did you try to aim it at your buddies and like?
Yeah, yeah. That was our main goal, was to hurt each other.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
It was so much fun. And you'd get so tired. It was such a great workout, too. You're sitting there having fun. You're getting exercise. It's a win-win. Show up drunk.
All right.
Everything up at college is just show up drunk and yeah, try to hurt much. Your buddies.
Well,
you guys are going to make fun of me.
Okay.
But I think I have to go with
pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah, pumpkin spice.
Dude, I knew it. I knew it.
When the first, like, when you see Starbucks start advertising that. Dude, it's good. I like it. But I think I have to go with
pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah, pumpkin spice.
Dude, I knew it. I knew it.
When the first, like, when you see Starbucks start advertising that. Dude, it's good. I like it. But I think I have to go with
pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah, pumpkin spice.
Dude, I knew it. I knew it.
When the first, like, when you see Starbucks start advertising that. Dude, it's good. I like it.
Okay, hold on.
But
time out.
I'll only have one pumpkin spice latte a year.
Time out.
Okay, I like pumpkin bread, but that's about it.
Time out.
Pumpkin bread's good.
Time out. I can agree with you that there are times where I will enjoy a specific made, you know, go to Starbucks or a plate, you know, Big B, whatever.
McDonald's Shamrock Shake.
And yeah, something like that.
Fuck, dude.
You're going to, like, I
love Shamrock Shakes.
So for me, it's the peppermint mocha, right? I'm like,
oh, I drink those all year long.
I love peppermint mocha.
Yeah,
but
mocha slaps.
I disagree with you because I personally do not think pumpkin spice tastes good. That's my personal.
Really?
It has nothing to do with the.
See, I like the apple cider stuff more, but
nothing to do with like
gone.
The oh, it's basic white girl like you're drinking like dude. If you're offended by or I shouldn't even say offended. If you want to make fun of me for drinking Starbucks coffee, like get over it. It's good coffee, like whatever. But at the end of the day, I just don't think that pumpkin spice is. I don't think it tastes good. That's my opinion.
I like pumpkin spice.
I had to crack up because, you know, shout out to Brooke. She just graduated basic training, and the first thing she did on family day, we go to Starbucks, and we're like, oh, you know, what are you getting? She goes, pumpkin spice latte.
Hell yeah.
You basic white girl.
I mean, she did just graduate basic training.
Her brother's like, you basic white girl. I'm just laughing. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't care. I want it.
I'll tell you guys what. After you guys pick, I'll tell you what my other pick was going to be.
Okay.
I don't think anyone's going to take it, but.
I'm going again. I feel like I'm a little bit unorthodox with my picks here.
Is it just all clothing?
No, it's not. I just picked apples.
That's true. Yeah, I forgot about that.
But with the fourth and final pick, some people are going to absolutely fucking hate this. I'm going with Crock-Pot meals.
What?
I fucking
hold up.
Meals.
That's not a fall thing.
Define.
Whoa. Why is that not a... You make a crock pot meal in the fucking summertime?
I do.
Back me up here.
They're mainly a fall thing. They are a year-round thing, but it's more frequent in the fall.
That's true.
Well, I guess winter too, but
the other
like,
thing,
come on.
The other
start
thing I'm
going to
say there,
fall.
Though, is Justin already picked chili and soup, so what crock pot meals are you making
dude,
that isn't chili and soup?
I was talking more about...
I don't
like,
make that shit in the crock pot.
You don't make chili in your crock pot?
No.
Or stew?
No.
It's so much better when you let it cook all day.
You know, I'm going to say...
Oh, I have a big pot.
I've had it in both. It's better in the pot.
It's way
really?
Better in the pot.
It is.
I love crock pot chili. It's so good.
I make gallons of chili.
Okay. Anyway, I was talking more about pot roasts. And like specifically in my head was pot roasts and Swiss steak, but...
I'm actually going to make a...
I can repick if we think that that's too close.
No, that's fine. You got it.
All right. You don't have anything?
I had it for a minute there.
And he lost it?
I lost it. I've kind of been going on the fly, to be honest.
Well, I'll tell you guys what my other pick was.
That was weird. There's a leaf just popping up. What's up?
I was going to pick fall colors.
Oh, yeah. That was mine.
Was it?
No.
No.
Okay.
Well, oh, I remember mine.
Okay.
Mine is the first snow of the year and going out to tracking.
Oh,
I don't know if you guys do this, but it was like a tradition.
Yeah.
When it first snows, you go two tracking?
Yeah, it's when it first snows, you go two tracking, and you just tear it up. You start drifting around all the turns.
I mean, I'll two track eventually.
Like,
I don't know
really
if I'm doing
it. It makes it like it's wet, slick snow, so you can slip around.
It makes it
super
easy. It makes it so you can
have
fun.
It's usually been raining out, so there's mud in the water holes.
Yeah, it makes it so much fun. You can have fun, but you're not going to get stuck. Like, as in the winter, when there's a lot of snow, it's really easy to get stuck. But when there's
I've only got stuck once in my Tacoma.
Are you serious?
Actually, two tracking. Yeah. And it was because I tried driving across the field and I high centered. And then I got out of the truck. We found out the snow was like almost 4 feet deep because I was in a drift.
Oh, yeah.
But
I don't think I've ever gotten stuck in the Tacoma. And
are you serious?
I did some crazy stuff up.
I guess I know
you had, No, I've never got stuck in that Tacoma. That was in my old
Tacoma. I never
got
stuck in my Tacoma.
And you had a lot better tires than I have ever had on mine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've never actually got stuck in this Tacoma. Granted, I don't two track in this truck very often.
Some super deep mud holes and stuff.
Well,
we would go on, it was old logging trails. You know how torn up logging trails get and muddy and just bad.
I should clarify.
That's what we would do.
I should clarify. I go two tracking in that truck all the time. I just don't go wheeling. Because that thing goes down two tracks weekly at this point in the year, right? I'm driving down seasonal roads all the time. But
no, we would
actually
go out and specifically beat the shit out of our vehicles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't really.
I never
really
did that
like
in my Tacoma, but like
my buddy
when
had
I was
a
in high school and just
brand
out of high
new,
school.
My buddy had a brand new Ranger. I remember he was running over, like, he was drifting through mud holes and he was occasionally losing control and he'd slip off the main trail, and he'd be like running over maple saplings and stuff. And there was one time we got super close to a large maple, and he goes, Oh, reckon we almost hit that tree there. And I'm like, dude, this thing's brand new. If you hit that tree, you'd been screwed. And he's like, but we didn't, so we're good. And he just keeps beating the shit out of it. It was just like, it blew my mind that he's ragging on this brand new car.
That's crazy.
My buddy
and then my other buddies were doing like Lexus GXs and stuff, like luxury vehicles, but they were lifted, had no bumper, big winch, took the control arms out. I mean, these things were sweet.
Wow.
Like if you turn them into an off-road vehicle, they actually make great off-road vehicles.
Oh yeah.
Well, depending on the year, you could also get the same V6 that's in the Tacoma, so.
Oh no, these are V8s. It was a 470.
Nice. My buddy when he got his was brand new to him. I think it's a 2017 Silverado. It was a 2500. And right before he bought this truck, he was driving a Chrysler 200. And so he gets this truck, and he like picks me up. I think we were going to grab a bite to eat or something like that, but he wanted to show me the truck. He's like, oh, hold on, I got to stop by the ATM. He's driving through the ATM. Dude, he literally like, the day after he bought this truck, hops the curb and smacks one of the concrete bollards side of his truck. And I'm like, oh. And it didn't like dent anything, but it scratched up the paint. It was not pretty. It was one of those things where you're like, damn, I'm going to look at that in a year and be like, fuck, that sucks.
Yeah. Once I started driving like nicer vehicles, like with my Tacoma, I wheeled it a little bit, but I never beat it.
Well, I will. I mean,
but
if
like
it's just a dirt road, I'll like drift around a dirt road, or like fields are fun because you can't hit any trees or anything.
Right.
The hard part is like if you're going too fast and hitting holes and stuff like that, like that's really hard on a rusty Tacoma frame, and I just don't want to do it.
Yeah. Oh, I've messed up trucks. Like when I drove.
Oh, that's
like
how I broke the frame on my last Tacoma. It was because I was wheeling, and it was like fucking turn two at Talladega. I had like a 15-degree slope I had to get around because it was designed for like Can-Am Mavericks and Razors and stuff like that. And so that's sweet. You want me to talk about it?
Well, you don't have to talk about it. I was just going to show it to you.
Yeah.
This was a day after wheeling in the snow and mud.
Yeah, it's covered in mud.
And it was caked. Dude. And it was funny, too, because, you know, leaves and whatnot up there. I had my...
It was like paper mache mud and leaves.
I had my front... Oh, man. Forgetting the words for it now. But, like, the 4x4 actuator in the front. Like, the front diff or whatever.
Transfer case?
Yeah, the front transfer case with the 4x4 actuator in it. Anyways, I had to tear that all apart, and my skid plates were full.
Oh, yeah. The skid plates are the worst.
Solid block of frozen mud and leaves.
Yep.
It sucked. And I was like, I'm never going two-tracking in the mud again. And then I fixed it and went, like, the next week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And on my old Tacoma, I came up that embankment, and the frame was so rusted that the leaf spring shackle had broken, and the bolt that held the leaf spring onto the shackle went straight in to the gas tank and started leaking. So then I needed to buy a new truck because I didn't feel like paying, you know, $2,000 for a gas tank on a $1,500 truck.
Yeah, right.
Jared showed me a video absolutely bombing a mud hole.
I wish we did.
Boom.
I wish we did that more still. Like, just going out with your buddies and going and seeing what you can.
Well, okay, here's the thing. We did that in high school because we drove shit boxes.
Right.
And now it's now a lot that harder. We need like a reliable daily driver.
Yeah, it's like, dude, I got to drive this shit to work on Monday.
But you could buy like a. I feel like we could go out there. We could find like a $4,000, you know, like Ford Ranger, 5-speed manual, and just bomb, bone stock.
It'd be fun.
Just bomb the shit out of it.
It'd be fun.
So that was the funny thing is we're all driving our daily drivers doing that shit.
Oh, yeah.
And my buddies had a Chevy that was like I think they bought it for $600.
Nice.
And we abused that thing. I mean, we would have bonfires in the bed of it.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about turning the bed into a hot tub and using the exhaust to, like, heat up the water and create bubbles.
That's some real redneck shit.
Yeah. I bought my first, like, three.
But we would
my
jump
first three
it.
Trucks for, like, $500.
I bought my first truck for $2,500, and I bought that truck for $83.
Wow. That's only your second vehicle?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
They're Toyotas, dude. Plus, also, you got to keep in mind, I've only been driving for, what, seven years?
Still.
Seven?
So, yeah. By the time I was 21, I probably had 4 or 5 cars, years. At least.
Well, did you just get bored of them, or did they break?
Both.
I mean, Tacoma's a reliable vehicle. That's all I'm saying.
I had that
Ford. It wasn't because I maintenance them well.
I had that Ford Explorer.
I don't do shit.
Beat the crap out of that thing.
The Exploder?
Yeah, and then my parents made me scrap it because it was too dangerous to drive on the road.
Oh.
I think I've had like 4, maybe 5. Because I had Jeep XJ.
The Dart.
And I rolled that.
Whoopsie.
And then I had I drove my dad's backup car. It was a Ford Taurus, I think.
Oh yeah, like I did that same thing. My parents had a Ford Contour.
And then I had a Chevy Impala, and a bear ran out and hit me. I did not hit it. It ran into the side of my vehicle.
That's what they all say.
No, you could see the damage. Like it ran into the side of the vehicle.
Huh. What'd you blow?
Didn't blow anything. It was It was like 4:30 in the morning. I was on the way to work. I worked in a factory at the time, and it was just pitch black out. Didn't see it until it was. And then I had the Dart. Then I had the Dart. Now I got the Tacoma.
Nice.
Well, I've probably had 10 or 12 vehicles so far.
Well, there's nothing wrong with the Tacoma. You just didn't want to pay for it anymore.
Yeah, basically.
Which I respect. I'm not hating on you.
I would have kept driving it if I didn't find a just screaming deal on the Corolla.
That was a good deal.
It was a super good deal.
Less than 100,000 miles. And pretty much spotless.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
solid. I've taken that thing.
Good car.
You know, two-tracking and stuff. And it does pretty good. You just got to hit everything with a little bit of speed.
Yeah, I mean, I would be a little bit worried about just smell. You have no ground clearance compared to
it does. It's way more cars than a regular car, like today's cars. Like it.
Yeah, for sure.
It has a decent amount. You just gotta power.
Yeah, nowadays cars are a few inches off the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, when we had that Subaru Impreza, I had to get, just to get my jack underneath it. Like, my jack is a low-profile jack. I had to get ramps. I had to get ramps so I could just get the jack underneath it. It was stupid.
Yep. Yeah, now, like, with my Tacoma, because I'm running 32s, so equivalent to, like, a 32-inch tire.
Yeah.
In stock, I think they're 31s, but whatever. But now I have to use like a 3-ton jack to like get up enough to where it'll like, I don't, anybody who lifts their truck like 6 inches, I don't know how you ever jack it up.
I used to have to use
blocks.
It's
called 4x4s.
I used 6x6s. I had 2 6x6 when I had my Blazer. I had 2 6x6s that I would have to use with the jack. Like I couldn't pull.
Buying a hoist.
Yeah. I couldn't pull it in the garage. Ugh. Like, I lifted it and me and my dad had to put smaller tires on it so we could get it out of the garage.
Yeah.
And then when I put the regular tires on it, I couldn't pull it back in the garage.
Yeah.
It was sweet. I got stuck in car wash one time because the dude's like, oh, yeah, you can make it. And I went, like, halfway in or whatever, and it started scraping the top and shit. And I was like, dude, I don't care. But, you know, it was a piece of crap. But I got stuck in the car wash because it was too big.
That happened. I went to one of those, like, auto-feeding car wash things or whatever.
Yeah.
And the dude's like, he's like, yeah, just pull up and the, like, it'll catch you, whatever. I'm like, okay. And so.
Did you put it in neutral?
Yeah, it was in neutral. And it did catch it. It caught the tire or whatever. But when he had me lined up, I was like, hey, do I need to line up again? Oh, it was a K5. That's cool.
Yeah, K5 Blazer. It was so.
He had me lined up and I felt like I was crooked. I'm like, hey, dude, like, are you sure I'm lined up okay? And he's like, yeah, you're fine. And it caught me, and it threw me, like, up over the track, like, on the one side. So then I was, like, it started pushing my truck sideways, so I turned it and, like, put it in drive and drove forward a little bit. I get to the end of it, and the guy's like, no, you're not supposed to hit the gas or anything. I'm like, dude, my truck was going to end up sideways in your fucking car wash. Like, no. He's like, all right, we'll just go through it again. And then the second time he lined me up, he's like, oh, I guess you were crooked the first time. I was like, yeah, no shit. Literally started pushing the truck.
You're also dealing with people
sideways
who are working at a car wash.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Nothing against them. Takes all kinds of kinds.
Must be hard to not be as great as the three of us, huh, Jared?
Yeah, dude, we're fucking sign guys. That's the top. I mean, where do you go from there?
Anywhere.
Put
else.
Up trusses. Put up trusses.
Yeah. So anyway, there was a couple other things I wanted to talk about. One thing, this is kind of just like out there or whatever. I'm not even sure if you guys wanted to talk about this, but we did order a sample size number of hats.
No, I don't think we should talk about it.
No?
No, I'm just messing with you.
Okay. We did order a sample size number of hats. Just to see, you know, what we like, whatever. I thought it was, I wanted a hat. So I was like, hey guys, let's order hats. But yeah, we'll see. Like I said, it was a small order. I was really more curious to look at the quality and just make sure that it's like something that I would personally want to buy, if, you know.
How many did we get?
I think 12.
12.
So I don't.
So out of the 30 listeners that we have, you guys are gonna have to fight for them.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Well,
we're gonna
say right now,
like that, but
if people comment on this video and they like the idea of hats or potentially T-shirts, koozies,
well, that's,
you know, whatever.
That's what I'm getting at. If
comment,
anybody is
interact with the video, and we'll know that
what
you
video?
Actually,
we don't have
any
what
video,
are you talking about?
Podcast. Comment or interact with the podcast.
Yeah, you can.
And we'll
you
actually
can comment.
Know that people want this stuff, and they actually are listening.
So that's what I was getting at. Specifically on Spotify, I know you can comment on the specific episodes or
video.
The other. Yeah, or the other option is to send us a DM on Instagram, if there's something specific somebody wanted to see. So we'll be on the lookout for that. But yeah, it was pretty, I don't know, kind of exciting. I don't know that anyone else is. There'll probably be a few people who are interested in him. But you never know. So I figured we'd put it out there. Like, hey, we're going to try to maybe do something.
At the very least, also, it's a cool logo.
Yeah.
And it's probably just going to be a cool hat.
I also have a really, really cool idea for a product next year, which I'll talk to you two off the podcast. I'm not ready to talk about it yet.
Ooh.
Yeah. But that is something that I know for sure we are going to be, we will be selling, or I will at least be selling them. And so, yeah, that would be one. The product I'm specifically talking about is not necessarily podcast specific. So, yeah, I guess a little bit of announcement there. Kind of cool. But speaking of stuff like that, I wanted to talk to you, Justin, about Origin. Me?
About Origin?
Origin and First Light and Sika gear, and specifically quality hunting clothing. So first of all, I need to give a shout out to Stormy Cromer because I love Stormy Cromer. Still made in the U.S., still in Michigan. Pretty sweet. I don't think everything is made in Michigan.
Probably
I know
not.
They like sub out a lot of their work for certain products, but I know it's all made in the U.S. So shout out Stormy Cromer and shout out Origin, made in the U.S., all U.S. made.
All U.S. made.
So that's pretty cool. But there's something, I was thinking about this with Sika gear because there's like obviously some really gimmicky type of stuff that comes along with Sika gear. But they also make some really nice stuff like this one here, this jacket.
I like Sika stuff. Like they have good stuff.
But this jacket, to me, $200 for that, like I feel like a lot of people would pay $200 for that because that's a really, you're getting into something that's that warm, you know what I'm saying? Or like wool.
It's purpose built. Like it's,
that's the same thing for the wool though. It's like, yeah. Hey, this is a $600 jacket. Well, who would spend that much? Somebody who wants a wool jacket. Like you're right. Not going to be cold in that thing.
Yeah.
It'll be 30 below and you just wear a couple of layers under that, like especially the double where it's got the cape over the shoulders from Stormy Cromer or Filson, but I'm getting kind of...
Does Stormy Cromer make, like, jackets and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? I thought they were just hats.
They make... No, they make... So, my vest that, like, you have your wool Filson vest. Yep. I've got a 20... I think it's a 22 or a 24-ounce wool vest from Stormy Cromer. Much different, like, shape, whatever. Yours is kind of got, like, the tuxedo bottom to it.
Yeah, mine's kind of a Western style.
Yeah. This one's just, like, flat, whatever.
Yeah.
But very comfortable, very warm. I can wear that in a flannel and be fine, and especially in the fall, most weather. But Stormy Cromer makes what they call the Mackinac coat, which is very similar but not the same as the Filson Mackinac wool jacket.
Yeah.
So Stormy Cromer's double Mackinac jacket is similar to the double wool Mackinac jacket from Filson,
mm-hmm.
because it's got the cape, it's got the chest pockets, it's got whatever. And comparable in price because they're both about $600. But Filson obviously has that whole history. Whatever. Did they invent Mackinac wool? Do you know that? Is that like their specific thing?
I don't know for sure.
Or maybe they just popularized it.
I want to say yes, but I don't know for sure.
Regardless, what is it, in your opinion, that, like, why do you think guys like you and me are drawn to something like that? Where it's just, is just because it's cool? Or just because we think it's cool? Or is it because, like, I've come to accept the fact that I'm a pretty materialistic person, period. But I think I just appreciate nice. It doesn't even have to be expensive, just like quality shit.
Yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting thought because
you don't like spending a ton of money on stuff.
No, but where I do spend money, like I've been buying all the Origin stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Or Kefaru,
because I like American-made stuff.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
It just makes me warm and fuzzy inside.
Yep.
When I know I'm buying something that was made in America, you know, American-made materials, and, like, it just makes me
happy. I bet your Filson vest wasn't made in the U.S., though.
I'd have to look. I don't remember. I bought that Filson vest. I was not planning on buying that. I was walking downtown. I can't remember what I was doing, but I was downtown by myself, and I saw a, like, little sign, like a street sign, like an A-frame street sign.
Like a Sinicade?
Yeah, like a Sinicade, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, you know, Filson clothes 70% off.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, shit, like, was okay.
I wonder if that was at, were you, like, downtown Traverse City or downtown Gaylord or
something? Nope, downtown Traverse City. It was a little, I mean, hole-in-the-wall place this dude was selling.
Was it Diversions?
No. It was, you know where, like, Peace, Love, Little Donuts is?
Yeah.
So there's that little hallway that you walk in.
Yep.
And then you, like, walk in that hallway. To the left is Peace, Love, Little Donuts.
Mm-hmm.
If you went all the way straight, all the way back.
Now I think that's a barbershop.
Something like that. But it was a guy, just one single dude, that was selling jeans and, like, Filson wool stuff. And he was going out of business because, you know, whatever.
That's all he sold.
Yeah, he didn't make
it. He was selling $110 Origin jeans.
No, these jeans were, like, they were, like, $120.
Yeah.
But they were made on, like, the same looms that were, like, old school Levi. Like, they're really nice jeans.
Oh,
like,
cool.
Thick, like, awesome jeans.
Not the shit that's made with spandex now that
rips, you know,
every time you bend over.
Right. And I really wanted to buy some jeans, too. But I was too poor for that. But I bought that jacket on super sale. Or not the jacket, but the vest. And
that's how I got a lot of my Sika gear.
Yeah, I kind of made it like a closeout, you know, because it was, I think I was down there for, like, the holidays or something. I was, like, Christmas shopping. But it was right before my birthday, and I was like, you know, I'm going to buy myself something sweet.
Well, it's like a $250 vest.
Yeah, normally. And I think I got it for
70% off, 60, it was like 70, 60, 70 bucks.
Yeah, it was like $70. And, but I don't know why I'm drawn to that stuff. You know, because I like nice clothes and whatnot, but, like, I've never been, like, a...
But I'm not a designer brand type
no,
person.
No, me either.
It has to do something with, like, a...
But once you figure out, like...
I guess just knowing, like, for me, that Stormy Cromer vest, like, the wool vest, and you look at it, and it's buttons. I didn't want the zipper one.
Yeah.
I wanted the button one.
Right.
And I wanted charcoal. I didn't want any, like, the patterns or anything like that. And you look at it, and it's kind of, like, boring to look at. Like, most people look at that, they don't think twice about it.
But it's functional.
Right. And so I think that's part of it is, like, I just know... How I know the quality of craftsmanship that went into that and how well that product is going to serve me. And I think that's the part that I'm drawn to about it.
Right. And
it just does exactly what I wanted it to do.
Right. And the thing that, like, gets me is once you have, like, your clothes dialed in,
yeah,
you can be comfortable in any situation.
Yeah.
You know, it's raining out. Sweet. I got my Sika DuPoint.
DuPoint, like, jacket.
It's,
yeah, buddy.
You know, and, like, that
I just tore that today.
Did you really?
Yeah, the arm.
Fuck.
I was walking through the woods and I must have snagged it on something because I got up in my tree stand and I was doing something. I looked down and I've got this tiny little tear. So I'm gonna take like a air mattress patch and just it's right on the arm, so yeah. It really shouldn't matter.
Kind of seam seal it.
I'm gonna just seam seal it and be all right.
There's some tape. I can't remember what it's called.
It's probably the same shit. It's just like
I'll
some vinyl tape.
I'll have to look and let you know. But. Like, when I did that kind of, like, endurance hike or whatever,
mm-hmm.
It was, you know, 22 miles,
yep.
An endurance hike, you know, all-day event, and the night before, it started just pouring, and
yep.
It was raining, like, so hard,
and
it rained
out.
All day, so I had my gaiters, I had my pants, I had my rain jacket. I was the only one that wasn't miserable.
Yep.
Because I had my gear just dialed in.
Waterproof Salomons.
Yep, I had my Salomon, like, and... I was having a great time.
We're both
time.
Wearing Salomons right now.
Yeah. And, I mean, shout out to Salomon. Like,
shout out Salomon for sure.
I love their stuff. Once I started buying their shoes, because I was going through shoes every 6 months, and
yeah.
I bought Salomon shoes, and they lasted me at least a year and a half, 2 years.
And if they don't last 2 years, they'll send you a warranty.
Yeah, you got a 2-year warranty. Yeah. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, as long as it's not like, as long as you don't cut them in half with a knife or something.
No, like So those blue ones that I had,
yeah,
I warrantied those.
Yeah.
And so I wore them in the fab shop, in the paint booth. I mean, they're destroyed. They got overspray all over, welding holes, and like, I mean, they're toast.
Yeah, but
and I sent them pictures.
That was after you wore them out.
No. I sent them pictures of pretty much how they are now.
Yeah.
And they refunded me all my money, 100%.
Wow.
It was crazy. I wore them for 2 years.
Yeah, the glue started separating. Your toes are poking out.
I super glued them back together a couple times before I warrantied them.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's solid. Like, they're great. Like, I love their stuff.
That's funny because I used to wear Salomon some of their trail running shoes. I never knew they had the 2-year warranty because, I'm not kidding you, they would last me a year.
Yeah.
Just with how much running we did.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not knocking Salomon. They make a great shoe for hiking.
Yeah.
Yep.
But when it comes to running, if you're in cross country or you're training for a marathon or something, I just don't think they're the shoe.
Okay,
they only last you a year. The tread just
wears
out.
But is any shoe going to do that? I mean, is any
my
shoe?
My Hoka's did last Hoka's... me in 2 years.
Oh, really?
Okay, so let's get your opinion on this with something like Hoka, right? I mean, you've got that jean jacket and like that legendary whitetail stuff. You also in ways, the leather duffel bag prime example, are drawn to nicer quality shit. Like what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely follow the
buy once, cry once.
Yeah. Buy once, cry once, right?
Yep.
If you want something to last, spend a little money on it, but also take good care of it. Don't.
Yeah. I don't think any of us are trashing.
I'm not saying you can't abuse it. Go for it. Abuse it. But then take care of it. Clean it up afterwards.
So that was kind of my point with the Sika gear stuff is like, granted, there are some Sika pieces that are super fragile. That dew-point jacket being one of them. I don't know what I cut that on, but I can promise you it was nothing more than a branch in the woods that was like sharp, which would cut your skins, could. If you had like a sharp, sure. But that part's frustrating. The flip side of that is I've had the same Equinox pants, which are just like they're normal, like just as warm as like a pair of blue jeans. You wear them like pretty much all the time. I've had those same pair of pants for, this is like my fourth season with them. I've walked through briars and rose bushes and apple trees and mud and climbing over logs, climbing up trees, climbing down trees. I mean, I have beat the shit out of those. And at the bottom, there's like some frays and stuff like that, whatever. But they're tough pants. They are tough. So some of that is like designed to be abused. Like I've got that Filson jacket. That Filson jacket is, I've been working around metal, which it's probably a bad idea for that thing because it is just, basically canvas or whatever. But there was one time where I raked my arm against a piece of sheet metal wearing that jacket, and I thought for sure I tore it because, like, I was like, dude, that would have tore my Carhartt all day. Looked down at it, tin cloth. Nope, nothing. Wow. Dude. It was great.
Me and my buddy with like the old school Carhartt, like their heavy canvas, like whatever.
Yeah. When Carhartt was Carhartt?
When they were Carhartt, I still have both of mine, my original one, and then that just kind of got beat up and whatnot. So I got a little bit nicer one just for wearing around.
Yep.
But we used to take like our pocket knives and shit because they had that commercial that was like a dude with like getting attacked by a wolf or some shit. And they're like, oh, it's wolf proof.
Yeah.
And we always used to just make fun of that and whatever. But we'd take our pocket knives and, like, slash each other.
Yeah.
When we're wearing our Carhartts.
That sounds like something
seems
you do.
Smart.
Yeah. But it's always fine. Like, yeah, that fine. Shit is
you
tough.
Can't, but you can't do it now because it's, like, half as tough.
Really?
Yeah. You have to spend, first of all, you'd have to search for it and probably order it online. But you got to spend some time. I will say the Carhartt outlet down in Grand Rapids had a few jackets that must have been like overstock from like a long time ago because I don't think Carhartt makes the blanket line stuff anymore, but these were the blanket line.
Oh, really?
Ones. and it either that or it's like a specialty piece. You can only get them online or like at an outlet because you'll never find that shit at Walmart or Meijer or something. Or even like there's different levels to it because the bibs that you can buy from Walmart or Meijer
Tractor Supply.
Even at Tractor Supply, they're different from buying them. Where the hell was I the other day? Oh, I went to that Safety Work Supply, and that was like a clothing specific or a work specific clothing store. And they sold like the top of the line stuff. A place like that, that's where you're going to find, I think, the higher quality Carhartt stuff. The other ones are for people that probably aren't abusing their gear as much as.
Like, I have my Carhartt bibs.
Uh-huh.
You know, I wear those things in the garage, rolling around on concrete, yeah, and whatever. And, like, they're filthy.
Yeah, they're but snow they're, pants.
They're tough, yeah. And, like, I wear those things all the time.
Blow
in the
leaves, whatever. Yeah.
Right. And, I saw a dude walking down, you know, downtown Traverse, and he's got like the one unhooked, you know.
Are they coveralls?
It's like a fashion.
Are
yeah.
they coveralls? So yeah, it's, yeah. They're the unlined ones.
Mine are lined.
Yeah, but he's probably wearing unlined if he's walking around downtown. Yeah,
probably.
He's making a fashion statement.
It was a fashion statement. It was like, dude, like, I.
There is a Carhartt.
Don't get it.
There is a Carhartt called Carhartt Whip Work in Progress. That's the when the rappers took over Carhartt in the 90s and started making it a fashion statement, Carhartt branched off and created Carhartt Work in Progress.
Hmm.
And that's literally, they'll make, like, Carhartt paired up with Converse, and they did a Carhartt and Converse thing. They did it with Hurley. They've done it with a couple other brands where they just, like, they cross their brands and literally
forgot about Hurley.
Fashion Carhartt.
Yeah.
Which sucks because the...
Well, it sucks.
There's quality of clothing just goes down. And accessibility.
When you're on a job, you need something tough, and you go out and you buy it, and it turns out you bought something that's meant for fashion, not work.
Yeah, I mean, I shouldn't.
You know, I bought my bibs.
It would be specifically labeled Carhartt Work in Progress, though, if it was built for fashion.
Yeah, I bought my bibs, and I have to say, you know, they're decent, but it's noticeable. They're not as good as my jacket. My jacket is something that my uncle gave to me, and
so my point is that like you, those bibs
old, and it's tough.
The old Carhartt stuff is
no, but
really
those
good.
Those bibs that you bought them from the Tractor Supply.
Yep,
and they're what $100, $120.
They're a little more than that, but
so if you buy like, I'm gonna get really nerdy here, Carhartt's flagship bib, like the best ones that they make are called the Carhartt R41. It's got all of the all the bells and whistles on them. They're like $170
the red. I have two pair of Carhartt bibs. I have one like my regular, just like lined.
Yep.
Whatever, and then I have like their winter one.
The Yukon Extremes.
Yeah, the Yukon
Extremes.
Or
the Shoreline bibs.
No, the Yukon Extremes.
Yeah,
those are
stupid.
Warm.
I'm surprised you spent the money on those fucking things.
Turns out I didn't. So my dad found them on the side of the road.
Oh, and they just happen to be your size?
And they just happen to be my size.
No shit.
And I've had them for a couple of years now, and they're...
Yeah, those are warm bibs.
I don't wear them snow blowing because they're
too warm. No, they're
too
warm.
Warm.
They're too warm.
Like, if you're doing anything other than just sitting...
Obi wore those when we went up to the UP last year to do all that work. He wore, I think, literally just a hoodie and those bibs.
Well, yeah, it's that's what's nice about them is you can just have your bibs and you can be in a hoodie and it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, I freaking love those things.
You don't feel, you're not as puffy, you have more motion. Like, when you're working or whatever, I feel like that's kind of what you want. You want to be warm, and you still occasionally don't want to have to wear a jacket.
What I like this time of year is, like, bibs are too warm this time of year.
Oh, for sure.
But sometimes it's, like, kind of too cold to wear just jeans. So a lot of guys, like, I've got flannel-lined Carhartt pants that I'll wear. I know, Jared, you're a Long John's kind of guy just for convenience, so you don't have one specific pair of pants.
I'm a Long John's guy, too.
Right, but I really like what Carhartt has. It's called the Shoreline Bib, and those are the fully waterproof. They're not as insulated as their normal bibs.
But they're waterproof?
But they're fully waterproof. It's called the Shoreline Bib, so it's like the kind of shit that they wear on Deadliest Catch. You could pour a gallon of water on them, and you're like, I've kneeled in the snow before, and my knees will get cold, but they don't get wet. Versus normal bibs or even normal snow pants, your knees will get wet. These ones don't. They're fucking awesome.
Back, snow pants, I also want to go back to Salomon. I'm not totally knocking Salomon. I love Salomon.
Yeah.
All of my ski gear is Salomon. I mean, boots, you know, my ski boots, my snow pants, my jacket.
What brand of skis do you run?
I think my helmet. My skis, I really want the Salomon Quest 92s, but they're expensive, so.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I have the Salomon Quest bindings for skinning up mountains or whatever. But the skis I run right now are Alans, but that's because it was a really good deal back when I worked at a ski resort. We used to get pro deals and whatnot, so why not, right? They just didn't carry Salomon. But, yeah, I would love to have Salomon Quest skis. I think they're great skis. I got to ride on a pair of them, and they were amazing. But they're just – Salomon's an expensive brand. Can't deny that.
Salomon, no, Salomon is expensive.
But their boots are by far the most comfortable boot that I've worn, and I've tried Technica, I've tried Atomic, I've tried Head.
But the thing of it is, like, even with the Salomon, like, regular shoes, there was really no break-in period to these shoes,
mm-mm,
and they're just as comfortable as the day I bought them.
Yeah,
they're
amazing. I didn't really have it. I have the Salomon. I think they're the Quest 4s, like, hiking boot,
mm-hmm,
and there was no break-in. I mean, those things were, I mean, maybe a little bit, but not.
These are the Cross-Hike 2s, and this is the, it's like a basketball hiking shoe is what I tell people. Because it's over the ankle. It's got just a little bit of ankle support, but it's not like a full, it's not like a 6 or an 8 inch boot where it comes like up to your calf.
Right. And that's like what my,
yeah, that's what your
hiking boots
are,
you know, it's a boot. But
this,
like my regular tennis shoes, like I wear these things every day, and I don't remember what these are, like XA Ultra 3D Pro or some shit.
Those are super lightweight ones.
They're just like a regular
fully
tennis
waterproof
shoe.
And they got Gore-Tex. Gore-Tex is my shit.
Yeah, so I don't do the Gore-Tex. Like, I have my hiking boots are Gore-Tex, but I don't do, like, for an everyday shoe, like what I wear at the shop and stuff, like, I don't wear.
Well, yeah, Gore-Tex. If I like wear these in the shop every day, your feet sweat too much because it's all neoprene.
Right, and that's what, it's like, terrible. I have to do. Like, I don't wear, like, I have to buy the
those are
non-Gore-Tex ones online.
How much do those run? 170?
No, they're like 120.
I might have to pick a pair of those up.
Yeah, and you can get them on sale because, like, these ones were actually, I think they were just discontinued, but there was a while where these were, like, $55.
I like they use the Lace Garage.
The Lace Garage is
I'm glad
sweet.
You showed me that.
Yeah.
Dude, look, Alan, you like my wool socks?
Those are cool.
those are a gift, but okay. I wear them because they're wool, and they're very warm.
Dude, I have so many pairs of wool socks.
Do you have the Filson ones?
No,
I'm ordering the Filson
ones. My favorite wool socks are Darn Tough. Darn Tough socks are like.
Are they darn tough?
They are darn tough. I tell
Hell
you what,
yeah, brother.
I tell you what, brother, they're nice.
They are darn tough.
And like I, you know, because I've had Smart Wool, I've had all the different brands.
Have you had Muckluck? That's what these are.
Muckluck?
Yeah, Muckluck. I think it's Muckluck, something like that.
I don't know. I haven't had those. But ever since I've, you know, started backpacking and hiking a lot and stuff, I've been buying the darn tough stuff. And it, like...
I'll let you know. I'm going to buy 2 pair of the Filson ones, and if I like them, I might buy more. Because I wear wool every day in the wintertime.
I mean, that's what, like,
when
the,
it's snowing, I wear wool socks every day.
Well, even when it's not in the summertime, I wear wool.
Lightweight wool,
super lightweight merino
just for
wool,
moisture.
I mean, my feet sweat. I don't know why, but my feet sweat, you know, decently bad. And yeah, they're nice.
Yeah, I will let you know how that goes because I am a huge fan of wool socks and Filson. They call them, I think they're called like the logger sock or something like that.
Yeah, are they high?
Mm-hmm. They're very tall.
You know what I got?
They're so expensive, though. They're $40 for one pair of socks.
You know what I got? Probably 3 years ago now, 3 or 4 years ago, I bought a pair of alpaca wool socks.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I can't remember where I was. I was at some, like, trade show or some shit. And they're supposed to be, like, boot length, you know, socks or whatever.
They go above your knee?
They go just about to my knee.
Yeah.
But they are the warmest sock. And you can wear them in the summertime. Like, it is really well or it's really good at regulating temperature.
Huh.
So a lot of times, like, I'll wear a lighter merino wool under that, and then I'll wear that Apeka wool. Yeah. And, I mean, you're good.
Like, when it gets really cold, and actually, let's talk about this a little bit. Because this was another thing kind of coming into a couple other hunting-related things I wanted to talk about. But when it gets really, really, really cold, do you have a specific strategy for staying warm? Because, for instance, I'll give you my strategy.
Mr. Buddy Heater.
Yeah, all right, buddy. Mr. Cross Gun Hunter over here. No, I'm just kidding. But, like, what I will do to keep my feet warm, I've got the LaCrosse Alpha Burley Pro. They've got 1,600-gram Thinsulate. And then when it gets really cold, I will wear just a normal set of, like, thicker cotton socks with wool socks over top of that. And then I'll wear those boots, and my feet can stay cold. Like, the coldest I've ever hunted in is negative 21. And
it's oddly specific.
Yeah, well, I remember it because it was fucking
cold as shit.
But no, my feet, I went hunting that day, not because conditions were great, but because it was one of the coldest temperatures I've ever seen, even living in Michigan my entire life. This was a couple years ago now. But I wanted to test all of my Sitka gear and everything. And so I put on a pair of cotton socks and a pair of wool socks and the Alpha Burley Pros. And I had my full Sitka Fanatic setup.
Wait, you had cotton socks?
Cotton, and then wool socks over top of the cotton.
Ugh, no. It's bad.
Why is that bad?
Because your cotton socks get wet and they stay wet.
No. No, I put the wool socks on once I got to the stand.
Oh.
Otherwise, my feet would sweat too much. So I walked in with the cotton socks, and then my feet were fine. They were, like, almost cold. And then I put the wool socks on when I got into... I was sitting in a ground blind, and fucking... And that was good.
That was my biggest thing, is I got away from all cotton. Because it would just get wet. Like, I would sweat.
I mean,
it would get wet.
Not saying I'm partial to cotton. I'm saying that's what I had, and they weren't as thick or as warm as the wool socks, and I didn't want to sweat.
Yeah.
So, that's true. Based off what you just told me, I probably would have put a thin merino pair on and then put a thick.
That's what I do. Like, if I layer up socks, I'll do a thin merino and then a thicker wool. And then I have these LaCrosse. I can't remember what they are for sure, but they're like a more like a logger boot. Like, they're big and clunky and.
Not a rubber boot.
Not a rubber boot.
Okay.
And those things are super warm. But that's my biggest thing for staying warm is merino base layers.
Yep.
And then
you have to have merino base layers, otherwise it's just not.
Yeah, and you can go with synthetic and whatnot, but, like, the merino, it doesn't smell. Like, it doesn't stink. It doesn't get all nasty after, you know, sweat in it and whatnot.
They're so soft. The merino wool is so soft. So I've got some polyester base layers from Sitka that I liked for this time of year when I don't need it to be, like, super warm. And they're light. They're even lighter weight, I feel like, than the merino wool. It just gives you a little bit of extra when it starts to get cold. It'll take the edge off. And then when it gets down there, like, really, really cold, I've got merino base layers. I don't even remember what brand they are. They're just plain black merino base layer, whatever. And it's warm. It's great. But it's kind of, I don't know, preference, I guess, with that stuff. There are a lot of guys that don't run a base layer at all. Like, I know.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
One of the guys that I know that uses a whole bunch of Sitka gear, if he's going to wear his Fanatic set, he walks out to the stand with the Fanatic bibs on, and he'll unzip them so that they vent out the side, whatever. Just a t-shirt on. He'll throw the jacket in his backpack, gets up there, and he'll wear literally just like a t-shirt and basketball shorts underneath the Fanatic set. Because he's like, no, if I wear anything else, I'll just sweat. I'm like,
yeah.
Dude.
Well, that's what I keep cold. My outer stuff. You know, I have like a heavy pair of bibs and a heavy jacket.
Yep.
I won't wear that when I'm walking in because you just get too hot. But I'll
I typically will walk in. It depends. If there's a foot of snow on the ground, I kind of have to. You know, especially in the saddle because I'm not putting bibs on when I'm up in the tree in the saddle, right? So if there's no snow on the ground, I'll get to the tree I'm going to hunt in, and I'll put the bibs on at the base of my tree, and then I'll climb up, and then I'll put the jacket on once I'm up in the air. If it was a ladder stand, I could probably put a ground blind. You could put bibs on, you know, whatever. But if there's snow on the ground, you pretty much have to walk in with your bottom half on.
Yeah. Yeah, I usually wear my bibs.
That's what's nice about when they'll zip from the ankle to the hip and or from the hip down to the ankle. Because if they zip from the hip down, like if they have a two-way zipper, what I'll do is I'll unzip my bibs down to the top of my boot and just let that whole thing vent everything out.
What's really nice is like First Light has their like zip-off long johns.
Yep.
And my dad has a couple pairs of those. And he'll sit and whatever, but like if we have to drag out a deer, he'll just zip off his long johns real fast. And it's like, damn, that's pretty cool.
There have been times in the wintertime where I've had to, so like New Year's Eve was one of them. One of my friends shot a deer and I went out there and was wearing my Fanatic bibs because it was cold, you know, whatever. And I took them off and I was just wearing like my base layer pants, like basically just long johns to drag deer out. And because I'm like, it's too hot. You just start sweating so fast.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what I like about, I have that down jacket from Sika.
Oh, really?
Dude, I could wear it. Yeah, it's in the truck. The black one. I guess you haven't seen that yet.
Probably not.
But that was when I picked up Euro Optic, dropped Sika gear.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess they, you know, weren't making any money, whatever.
Oh, but, Euro Optic, like they don't carry Sika gear anymore?
Yeah, because Sika was like undercutting their dealers. They would say, hey, MSRP is this. And then they'd list the gear on their website. For basically became people would go to a place like Shields or, you know, Sportsman's Warehouse or something and try on Sika gear and then just order it online because it was cheaper.
Right.
So Euro Optic was one of the companies that dropped them. I think I'd have to look. There's a few others that did. But
that's
anyway.
That's where I got my new point.
Yep.
Was Euro Optic.
So I've ordered a couple of pieces from Euro Optic when they go on their closeout deals, one of them being the Celsius Midi, which is the best mid-layer piece for hunting, period. Nobody's going to change my mind.
What is it?
It's called the Celsius Midi.
Hmm.
It's not actual down. It's actually 100% synthetic, but it's lighter.
Like a Prima Loft?
It's Prima Loft.
Yeah.
It's a lighter weight. It's lighter weight than down, and in my opinion, packs down even smaller. And the great part about synthetic is you can keep it packed really tight for a very long time, and it's not going to stay flat versus down. If you pack it up really tight for a long time, it'll stay flat.
Yeah.
This
and,
one,
and if it gets wet, it stays warm.
Yeah, it's not waterproof.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I have a first
if it was like soaking rain, it'd be bad. But then I usually when I hunt with that, I'll just throw the shell. Like tonight, right. I was wearing that, and I just threw the shell over top. But I'll show you that jacket, that down jacket. It's called the Kelvin down jacket from Sika Gear.
I have a mid layer from First Light. I can't remember what it is, like the Cirrus or something. It's discontinued now, but it's kind of like a down, like synthetic, kind of puffy.
Yep.
But I use it as a mid layer all the time, and it's not windproof.
I can show you both of them. They're actually both in my truck.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but that Kelvin jacket, I was at a bonfire with Jake a couple weekends ago. That night got down to like 34 degrees or something like that. Literally had a t-shirt on underneath it.
Wow.
When I was wearing jeans, and I was like regular. It has huge zipper pockets on the sides for your hands, but it's also like venting. You can open it up and it'll allow airflow in. It's stupid warm. And it's got this what I call the Sika hood, where it's like formed to your head, so you can put it on over your head and it'll turn with your head instead of, you know, turning your head into the hood.
Yeah. And that like goes back to the like why we buy this stuff. It's like you're sitting around a bonfire and everyone's cold.
It's
or
a
like
hunting
whatever.
Piece. It's black.
You're sitting there chilling with your
And it's purpose built, you know, it's got the hood. It's black, so I bought it as an everyday piece because I wanted a nicer warm coat. It's it's built like a ski jacket, basically. But with it being all black, I wanted something that would be relatively comparable to the Fanatic jacket that I could also wear, number one, every day, but two, in ground blinds because it's completely black. So I'm not wearing camouflage in a ground blind looking like a total idiot. But no, I love it. It's a very warm piece, and it's great. So, yeah, that's that. How do you guys feel about calls, deer calls? Do you use them? Do you not use them?
I have never had success with them. I have used them.
So here's
that's about it.
I got a hot take on this. I use them. I've had...
What kind of calls are we talking about? Like rattle? Like
yeah, so...
Or like a doe bleat?
Specifically, I think we can all agree. Bleat cans are going to work maybe one day out of the year.
Yeah.
It's very... I've never had success with a bleat can. I have had a lot of success with a grunt call. Once you can see a deer.
Yeah.
If you see a buck and it's like this time of year, you can grunt at them and they'll usually come check you out. That or snort wheeze. I've been able to do that. Rattling at deer, I've had kind of, it's kind of hot or cold.
Can you give us an example of a snort wheeze?
That'd be my best impression of a snort wheeze.
That was all right.
I've always had good luck with a grunt tube.
Yeah. But.
Yeah, like I.
There's a lot of guys
time
that.
Every time it's visible that I've hit, if you can see the deer.
You're hunting
every
rifle season
single
though?
Time. No, I've done it during bow too.
Okay.
But every single time that the deer's been visible and I've hit the grunt tube, you can watch it run right in.
Really? Yeah. See, I've only used them during rifle season. Like, if I can see the deer, I'm going to shoot it.
If it's a doe, like if you grunt at a doe, they usually run away. No, I'm serious because they assume it's a buck.
Right.
And if
they're like, fuck that
guy. If they're not hot, they're out of there.
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't want to deal with that. But
I will say that I think it's only happened once or twice, and whether or not it was a call or just coincidence, it's only happened once or twice where there's been no deer or anything, and you just hit the grunt tube because maybe it'll call something in. It's never worked.
Yeah.
Other than once or twice.
Yeah.
And so it's probably coincidence.
Blind calling for me has never worked. The only time I can say for sure that rattling has ever worked for me was like the morning, I think it was like November 13th, but it was a morning hunt, and as it starts getting light outside, I can see these deer probably 250, 300 yards out, and I'm like, well, one of those is big-bodied. I'm pretty sure that's a buck, so I start... You know, knocking these. I've got two shed antlers that I hunt with. They're just little basket eight.
You don't have like the bag that you like.
No, I like actual antlers because
what's good for that is like garage sales. You could pick
shed
up,
antlers.
You could pick up little like you know stupid basket rack sixes at a garage sale for $5.
Yeah. No, these are two sheds.
Yeah, but big antlers call them big bucks.
No, it's not true.
Yeah,
I've called in.
I know.
I've called in.
I'm just messing with you.
That was the only time as I saw him out there. I started smacking these little antlers together, grunting a couple of times, and he came walking. I mean, he walked 30 yards from my stand, but that was that ground blind I couldn't get to full draw on.
Oh, yeah.
And whatever. So that's the only time rattling I can say for sure has worked, other than blind calling, which, again, like Jared said, could be coincidence. The part that gets me is there are guys online, and you could find this on YouTube. There are dudes that are going to be like, this is how you hit a grunt call in early October. This is how you hit a grunt call in the middle of October, and then this is how you use a grunt call during the rut. And for me, it's like, dude, I've spent enough time in the woods listening to actual deer vocalizing, like actual grunt calls, to know that no deer talks the same.
Right.
Some deer, when they grunt, are super vocal. Like, there are certain bucks that'll be just running through the woods chasing after a doe, bat, 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 the whole time, just grunting after it. Then there are certain bucks that are chasing does, and they're going to run after the doe, and she, you know, she runs into a field and then takes off running, and he steps into the field, and he just lets out one big grunt, you know, bat, and then he goes chasing after her. So it's different every time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I feel like you can't really, as long as the tone sounds, you know, because there's cheaper grunt calls that sound like garbage.
Right.
But as long as the tone is there, I think whatever pattern you use, I don't think that that's going to matter, especially if bucks are fired up. You know, think about when you get mad, sometimes you're going to spew over your words. You know what I'm saying? But it's still, you could tell it's a person.
I don't get like
upset.
That.
But, okay. Fair enough. Yeah, I've never seen you throw a clipboard before.
Or a square.
Or a square.
No, I don't do that.
Is that why that... Anyway. but anyway, I don't think that... I don't think that a specific call sequence or pattern to how the deer is vocal, I don't think that matters.
I don't think it matters either.
I think it's just completely made up by somebody trying to justify, hey, buy my call. This is the most accurate sounding.
Right. It's the hunting industry doing their thing.
For
and
sure.
And it just doesn't fucking matter.
No, it doesn't. The bleat in the can, I mean, I've heard stories of guys being successful with that. I've never, ever had success with a bleat. Never had success with a bleat can.
Either.
I've heard, like I said, I've heard a couple of guys' success stories. They're like, oh, and, you know, they'll swear by it, but I don't know. It's I bet you it's one or two days out of the entire year, and you got to be around.
I've never heard a doe.
You never heard an estrus bleat?
No. Not a real one.
You know, now that you say that, I don't know if they've heard like you said, a doe estrus bleat. Because I've heard you hear fawns bleat all the time.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah,
not like
estrus
a mature
bleat.
Doe.
I don't know.
Like,
I've seen does in heat before
because
mm-hmm. they, you know, walk out into a food plot and piss 15 times in a minute, and you're like, okay, she's ready to go.
Right.
But yeah, I don't think I've ever heard them bleat. Maybe once or twice. But the other thing is like. Like, that's my favorite part about turkey season. Like, if you got a hen that's fired up and she's over there, just bap, 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 I won't even call. I'll just wait.
Right.
It's like, there's my call right there. She's going to call in a Tom, you know? She's going to do a whole lot better job than I am, too, of calling. You know what I mean? So, I guess.
Can't beat it.
If you hear a doe bleat, just let her bleat until a big buck comes in.
Right. And then you shoot the doe.
Yeah, because it's probably a basket 6-point. It's probably a spike. I've got a butt buck on camera if you want to shoot him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know you're real excited for that.
I get fired up about butt bucks and spikes.
I know. I don't know why. There's no challenge in shooting a spike. There's no challenge in shooting a spike.
I just get fired up about deer. I don't, you know.
I mean, it's exciting to be like, okay, hey, that's a young deer. It's been a long time since I've seen a genuine spike buck, too.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of times I've seen them with, like, brow tines
and
stuff.
Dude, I see spikes all the time.
No, I'm talking two straight stick antler.
Yeah, 3-inch spikes.
No, a lot of times I'll see them, they're, like, 6-inch, and they've got, like, a couple brow tines.
Oh, really? I see, like, the 3-inch, 4-inch, just straight up.
Shit antler genetics.
Oh,
as a 1-year-old. Well, honestly, probably shit nutrients where you're at.
Yeah.
Lack of
There's
food.
Pine trees.
Yeah.
Like they're eating pine cones. They're not.
2 inches, no curve.
That's a legal antlerless deer. Did you know that?
2 inches?
Mm-hmm. Anything 3 inches or more is considered antlered. Anything 3 inches or less is
considered.
Oh, really?
I thought it was an inch.
No. How are you going to see a 1-inch antler at 200 yards?
You don't.
Yeah.
You shoot it. You're like, oh, there's a doe, and you shoot it, and then you go, ooh.
No, 3 inches or less is considered antlerless deer. Pretty sure it says that right in the deer either right on the tag or right on the deer regulations, at least.
I think you're right. Actually, now that I think about
three
it.
3 inches or less.
Yeah.
Is antlerless.
Yeah, because I think most of the UP is you're allowed to shoot spikes as long as they're 3 inch or more.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It depends on what tags you have, too, because, like, I know up in my cabin, if you buy...
There's certain shit that's, like, county-specific.
If you buy just,
so
like,
confusing.
A rifle tag,
yeah,
you can shoot anything.
The deer tag, not the deer combo.
Not the combo, but the combo tag has to have three or better on one side. But if you buy just
so
the...
It's stupid.
It's super
Well, because the one is you only get one tag, period.
Right, you get one tag, and that's
the
it.
The combo,
like,
tag, you can
deer.
Get two plus a bunch of antlerless tags.
Yeah.
So, I think that's probably why. They need to do, dude, I hate being the one to say this over and over again, but Michigan has to go to an earn a buck tag. Has to.
You think
go.
So?
Yes. There's so many fucking deer here. There's so many deer. And the only time that mature whitetails are being shot are on private land.
Yeah.
Like once in a blue moon, you'll have somebody on a piece of public that nobody else has access to. It's basically a fucking piece of private. Like, your average public land sit, you hunt public land all the time.
Yeah.
When was the last time you saw a deer above 120 inches on public land? Probably never.
The last one that I shot.
Was that? Okay, yeah, true.
But
that
was the
that
only
deer.
One I've ever seen.
Yeah, the rest of them been dinks, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about dinks, but...
And like, you've been hunting, what, 15, almost 15 years?
Yeah. 15, 17.
17 years.
Like yeah.
How old are you?
29.
No, how old were you when you started hunting?
Oh, 12.
So I have to ask, Nick, why is it that you feel like mature does have to be shot rather than a young doe?
Mature does over young does?
Yeah.
I think it's
breeding
any
opportunity.
So,
well,
mature
does should be harvested over young does for breeding opportunity.
So my dad actually prefers you to take a middle-aged doe and leave the older ones that are good breeders, the older ones who have been known to produce good bucks, who are...
Yeah, that's great for antler genetics. It's not good for genetic variety.
Yeah, gotcha.
So if you're just trying to
my
build
dad doesn't
like, as a
care
state...
About variety.
Well, but
he cares
that's...
About big racks right. That are, you know, if they're inbred, whatever.
Yeah, who gives
right,
a shit
but that
if those
on a
giant bucks
on a small
all...
scale for a hunting property, absolutely. I could see where your dad's coming from. But when you're talking about the whole state, you want just in general as much diversity in your genetics as possible. I think that's, you know, whatever. Also, dude, I listened to an interview with Grant Woods of Growing Deer TV. I don't know if you've ever listened to him. No? Okay. Wildlife biologist, and he said that the does actually do not bring in the bucks for the rut, and that a mature buck is not going to go out of his way to go find a doe. He's instead just going to stay at home and make sure that he's got, you know, a select number of does that he can breed on his own and try to fight off the other deer, because it's actually more stress and harder for him to shoot one of those or breed with one of those other does on different property than it is to just stay there and fight, you know, a couple of bucks off to be able to breed something. So I don't know. I was always under the impression that, you know, a doe in estrus is going to bring bucks along. But according to Grant Woods, he says, you know, hey, the science doesn't show that. Science shows that the bucks are going to stay where they're at and they're just going to find a doe. Because the does will cruise too if they can't find a buck to breed with. And so he's saying that they're just going to just wait it out for a doe to come along, which is pretty interesting. So that pretty much means that, you know, I don't know, shoot a ton of does, but don't shoot them all. What do you think about that?
Mm,
You guys don't shoot any does, do you?
I mean, we usually get, I want to say, 3 does off the property per year. So it's not a ton. We should
intentionally?
Yeah. We should definitely be taking more. I think it's usually my grandpa buys a few antlerless tags, and then I think we all kind of follow the strategy of if you get a good buck coming out during archery, go for it. But if you have a decent doe to take a shot at during archery, you know, go for it. Because the combo tag, you're allowed to use one of your antler tags for a doe.
You can use both of them.
Yeah.
You for can, a doe,
well,
I believe.
You can use both, but you can only do it once.
Really?
Does that make sense? So, like, you can use either the 3-plus or the 4-plus
tag. I got what
you're
saying. I thought you could just use both of them to shoot, like, 2 does if you wanted to.
No, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure you can only shoot 1 doe.
The only reason I say that is because both of them have the antlerless, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I'd have to read the deer eggs again.
I'm pretty confident that you can only shoot 1 doe during
archery
with the combo tag. So our strategy was always use the 4-point tag and then save your 3-point for rifle season. That way,
there's a nice 6.
Hopefully you can get a 10-point or slammer 8, but you know, if you have to take that shot at a 6 or a 5 or a whacked rack 4.
Yeah. Or a 3.
Yeah. Or a unicorn 3.
We had a unicorn 8-point on the property last year. He was a spike on one side and he was a spike on one side and he had a nice 8-point side to him on the other.
Yeah, we had that. That was actually the buck that my dad shot this year. Last year he was nicknamed Half Rack because he had a beautiful 4 points on one side.
Speaking of your dad's
and absolutely
buck,
nothing on the other. And if you look at his rack this year, you can tell which side didn't have any points because one side is very well developed.
The other one had tiny
nice
lowbrow
girth, nice girth, thick beams, you know.
Yep.
And you look at the other one and all the tine length is about the same, but it's just a skinnier rack on the other side of it.
My dad shot a 5-point. It was 5 points on one side.
Really?
The other one was busted off like an inch or two up.
Damn.
Yeah. Like he just saw the one.
Yeah, he just saw one side
of it.
He just
saw the one
side
of it. Yeah, and he shot and walked up there. And
did he shoot the antler off?
No.
No, I might have told that story on the podcast once before, but I think it was my great-grandpa or something shot the antler off a deer. And it was a beautiful buck. And he ended up taking it to the taxidermist, got it mounted, and he's like, hey, he also liked looking for sheds, and he had a nicer shed. He goes, hey, how about instead of putting this one on, you put this one on? So he added a few points to it.
There you go. Yeah.
The old Mitch Rampala.
Oh, that deserves its whole own episode. Mitch Rampala and CJ Alexander at poaching fuck. So, but speaking of your dad's buck, we will let's post that on the Instagram page so people can see it.
Yeah, definitely. I think have we posted some of our other bucks that we talk about?
No, we also didn't post any pictures from early antlerless. So we'll get a couple of posts on there.
Let's get some early antlerless. I'll get the buck that you're confident. Constantly referencing right above you.
Yep.
And then the one from last year. And then we've got to get Justin's buck from last year on there too.
Yeah. I don't have any deer that are worthy of the biggest deer I've shot. It's like 107-point. So
nerd.
Yeah. Well, I'm working on it.
I've only got this one in the room and the one from last year, so
yeah. And
they're nice. They're not huge.
They're big. I like it. This one especially, I like the split brows.
Yeah, it's cool. Dude, I love that. That's so cool. That's the only reason my dad agreed to help me pay for shoulder mounting.
Nice.
He's like, I'll pay for half because that's a cool buck.
Yeah, that is cool. All right. What do you think, guys? You got anything else to add for episode 10?
I don't think so.
I think it's good. We did a lot. We covered a couple different. Yeah.
Yeah, we're about an hour and a half.
Yeah. Good old boys episode, just getting back in the swing of things. Mm-hmm. I wish we had more to report about deer season, but unfortunately we all are garbage. Just kidding. I'm really the only one that has hunted, so I'm the one that's trash.
Yeah, I haven't made it out yet so far. I've been busy.
Been out once with Nick, and it was bad.
We didn't see a fucking thing.
Yeah.
So. Those are too busy.
Yeah, he took me to
texting each other.
In the
took him to the shagging
words,
cabin.
The words that he used earlier today describing his hunting spot, it was so good even the deer couldn't find it.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yep. So, all right. Yeah, like I said, if you enjoy the show, feel free to give us a follow on Instagram at KnoxandNature_podcast. Either rate or write a review for the show, depending on where you listen. Spotify, Apple Music, or Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music. So
pre-order your hats right now.
Yeah. Comment if you want hats, or let us know what else you might like.
Yeah, they're going to go quick. I mean, like I said, if we only got 12 of them, so I can't guarantee anything.
And three of them are spoken for.
Three of them are spoken for. So really, we've got, you know, 9 hats available. So, all right. I think that's going to do it for this episode. Episode 11, releasing just before Thanksgiving, the 22nd, I believe. So, yeah. You fellas got anything else to add?
Nope.
Mm-mm.
No?
Nope.
Anything about the Lions, Jared? Other than go Lions?
FDP, fuck the Packers.
That's right. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening.